Well, as always, it's good to be here with you. I always look forward to this time of year to come and fellowship with all of you. You know, Sam and Aileen had started us off with the declaration that if it's not the Lord that builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. And I want to kind of build on that with something that the Lord took me through a couple of weeks ago out on my back porch on Sunday morning, kind of disciplining me a little bit, bringing me to a place of correction. And I want to share that with you and also offer a word of caution to us, I think. It's interesting, the scripture that Nick just quoted, Pam had just quoted to us, and it speaks of a vocabulary that we should use routinely, hidden in that scripture. And that's part of what I want to talk to us about tonight. A vocabulary that we may know what we're saying today, but 10 years from now, that vocabulary could cause us to be so far off the mark we couldn't find our way. And that's the caution I want to issue to us. The Lord has really began to show me the difference of three realms of the natural, the spiritual, and the eternal. And the culture that we're talking about is a culture that comes out of the eternal. Culture that's very contrary to the natural. And the Lord has given us the Spirit to bridge that gap. But He has also taken us into the spiritual realm. And we have become the bridge of that eternal realm coming into the natural. What stirred this thing with the Lord and me, we had one of our spiritual sons, he and his wife called and sat and visited with me about their disappointment in how we were parenting them. And I did what I felt was a righteous thing. I repented for my disappointing them and told them I'd certainly take it before the Lord and see how this thing needed to be adjusted. So Nancy and I sat and talked about it late that night, and Nancy said, "Doug, we need to have new eyes to see this thing. We're not seeing something." So the next morning early, I went to the porch and just asked the Lord for that very thing. I said, "Give me some new eyes to see this circumstance." And He began to talk very rapidly to me. And the first thing He said is, "Flesh can only give rise to flesh, and spirit can only give rise to spirit." He said, "I gave you natural parents to reveal to you your heavenly Father. And I gave to you, when your natural parents fail in this, I give you a spiritual father to reveal your heavenly Father. To reveal a higher standard, a higher culture." But both the natural parents and the spiritual father is given for the same purpose, one of the same purposes, of revealing the heavenly Father. But He said, "I never intended for the spiritual father to reveal the natural. I never intended for you to make up for or be a surrogate for the failings of a natural father. Everything in the natural is pointing towards something in the spiritual or the eternal. But everything in the spiritual is pointing towards something in the eternal, and nothing in the natural." And He began to walk me through a series of relationships since 2003 that had gone south, and that how every one of them had begun at this very place of me trying to be a surrogate father, or Nancy and I trying to be surrogate parents to someone who had been disappointed by their natural family. And what the Lord said to me was, "You were acting in unlawful authority. You had taken up unlawful authority. I never gave you the authority, nor the grace, nor the right to be the surrogate parent. I placed you there as a spiritual father for the purpose of revealing me, not for making up for their natural parents." Now, we all know, for years, men have been failing as husbands and fathers, and parents have been disappointing their children. because they themselves were not trained in the right way. And this is not, I'm not slamming any parents, but I'm just saying it's a fact that we've done a miserable job of revealing our Heavenly Father to our kids. And we as spiritual fathers have the authority to repent on behalf of that, to apologize on behalf of that, to clearly detect what is right and what is wrong about all that. But we do not have any authority to make up for what natural parents failed in. God never gave us the authority. I have two children, but I have many sons. My children were my children of the flesh. They are both now my spiritual sons. But they're different as my spiritual sons than they were as my natural children. But none of my spiritual sons are my children. The Spirit gives rise to the Spirit. I should not be encouraging their flesh. And what the Lord really showed me was the flesh giving rise to the flesh, whether they ask for it or I assume that role. And many, understand how much of this happened was, people would come and say, "Boy, you know, I've been looking for a father image, and you're really filling that in my life." And I'd say, "Well, what does that look like to you?" And they'd begin to describe the failings of their natural parents or their natural father. And I would immediately pick up that mantle and try and make up for it. Or, as some said to Nancy and I both, "You know, I need parents, and y'all look like a good group. Will y'all parent us?" And we would openly agree to take that on. Well, what that did, it gave them authority to set up a set of expectations of what they thought parents should be. And immediately it set us up for failure, because we weren't going to know what their expectations were, and we were going to fail them. Also in us, it set up the possibility of beginning to judge them by the flesh rather than by the Spirit. Back to what Sam was talking about last night. And you could see everything that was wrong with them. And so the Lord just really, He really spoke to me. And He took me even to a relationship with my younger brother. Our dad died when I was 11 and he was 7. And since that time, I've tried to be his father, his natural father. And it has led to an estranged relationship in us. So I got a lot of repenting that I've got to go back and do. But I first took this to Nancy and showed her what I thought the Lord was showing us in that. And Nancy, for years, had seen the red flag of this, of those who would try and draw us into their natural role, or when we would pick it up ourselves and try to fulfill it. And she's always had a red flag, but never knew what to say about it. Well, this brought real peace to her. And the Lord, since then, has just really been talking to me about our vocabulary and the words that we use and how we describe these things. You know, in the eternal realm, in the eternal realm and in the spiritual realm, the only thing there is fathers and sons. And the only thing we find in Scripture is fathers. And the only house that is being built is the house of God. And the only, there's not a Doug Allen house. There's not a Sam Solon house. There's not a John Shaver's house. The other thing I found, there's not a family of God in Scripture. There is a house of God. In one version, in the NIV, there's one reference to family of God, and it's just a poor translation from the Greek, which really said household of God. Now, y'all may think these are minor little discrepancies, but what the Lord showed me that morning was our vocabulary can do one of two things. Our culture is defined by our laws and our order and our vocabulary. And our vocabulary, today we may use a vocabulary that we know what we're saying and our intent is pure, But 10 years from now, the people who are using that vocabulary could be so far off the mark they'd never find it. So I believe God, the word of caution I would give to you tonight is be very careful of how you, of first off, the authority that you work in. One of the things I'm going to change is I'm still going to ask people when they talk to me about being a spiritual father, I'm going to ask them what that looks like to them. And when they begin to describe it in the natural, we're going to stop and have a long conversation. And I'm not going to agree to take on something that I've not been given the authority to take on. I should have known this, y'all. That idea about what authority are you doing this and who gave it to you has always, I've always tried to keep that in my heart. And I should have known better when I did these things. But if they try to describe this in the natural, we're going to have a long conversation about what spiritual fathering is really about. Because to me, the value of a spiritual father is as the Holy Spirit comes, and over the past 10 years, as the Holy Spirit has came into my life and has tried to transform me into the image of Christ, as the difficulty came, there was somebody there who could explain to me what the Holy Spirit was doing and why it was for my benefit and reveal to me my Father. We as spiritual fathers have to stay in that vein. We're only revealing the Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father will make up for all that disappointment in the natural. But it's not our place. We don't have the authority to do it. The evidence of that for me is we have one couple that we father, and we came to a place where she actually called me one day and was disappointed, and we talked about it, and you know, we decided I'd try and do better, and went on, and her expectations weren't getting met. She finally said told me that she told herself, I am not going to allow my expectations to turn into disappointment, but to my disappointment of Doug and what he's doing. I'm going to receive him for what he is in my life and be thankful for that, and I'm going to move on. After she made that determination to not allow me to be a disappointment to her in the natural, within 30 days she was fully reconciled with her natural father, from which she had been estranged for 11 years, and they lived 30 miles apart. But within 30 days they were fully restored, their relationship fully restored. So I know that God will, in one manner or another, take away the disappointments of the natural. That's not our responsibility. But my encouragement to us is to be very clear as spiritual fathers, in both in our actions and in our vocabulary, the things we're talking about, and the things we're doing, and who we're representing and who we're not representing. That word family of God, and I've used that for 30 years, there are certain expectations that we have from a family, but there's a different expectation we have when we talk about a household. You come into a household and you become a part of that household because you become the culture becomes a part of you. It's not by genetics. I'm genetically an Allen. I was born to an Allen, so I'm an Allen. I'm genetically an Allen. But I am a son of God and a member of the household of God because of my relationship to Christ, but also because His culture is being woven into my very nature. Jacqueline Onassis became a representative of the Kennedy household, even though she wasn't part of the family from the standpoint of being genetically tied to it. But when she married into it and the culture became a part of her, long after her husband had died, she still was one who represented that household. There was a measure of representation of that household. So these words are very critical. So when we refer to one another, I want to caution us to use a vocabulary that is becoming of our culture, that explains and puts our culture on display. And some of these terms that we've used that have been what I call familiar, they're terms of endearment that we would use for one another, but not necessarily a good representation of the culture that we're called to put forth. One that has always bothered me is when people call Nancy my spiritual mama. There's no such thing as a spiritual mother, y'all. The only place where male and female is in the flesh. So any reference to a male in the spirit or a female in the spirit is an inaccurate representation of the culture to which we're called to represent. I've been a part of a group. We've wrestled for years what to do with women in the kingdom. We need to quit trying to figure out how to receive women and start trying to figure out how to receive sons. Sons who aren't male and sons who aren't female. We've got to clearly separate. And it's my thought that part of the right turn that we're making in the migration, part of that turn has to do with leaving the natural behind and dedicating ourselves to the spiritual and to the eternal. And to let the natural fall off of us. But I believe these terms are critical. Some of us like to... people have been referred to as a spiritual grandfather. There's no such thing as a spiritual grandfather. That person is a patriarch. And we need to use the appropriate terminology to recognize them. Grandfather speaks of a natural, earthly culture. A patriarch is the culture of heaven. When a spiritual father has sons who have spiritual sons, he is a patriarch. He's not a spiritual grandfather. Now, it sounds like a little shift, but today it's a half a degree. 10 years from now, it's so many miles off the mark we can't find our way. And we have been the ones who've been given this culture. And I think it's critical that we set it in our hearts to be the best representation. Scripture says that we should be an exact representation of what our Father's doing. And so my word of caution to you is, it was a very, very difficult, painful morning for me as the Lord took me through what I would call my own ignorance, because I should have known better. But as he took me through my numerous accounts of assuming unlawful responsibility by trying to replace a natural parent when I was called to be a spiritual father. There was a lot of repentance on my part, very painful. I'm glad to say, as we've worked through it, it's brought much peace to our relationship, mine and Nancy's, and to our relationship with some of these people that we had disappointed. But I want to encourage each of you to weigh these things I'm saying and to weigh the accuracy with which we're going to represent the culture of heaven and the eternal that I'm talking about, and see if the Holy Spirit won't quicken to you other ways that we are missing the mark slightly. And let's let the correction come today, early in this epoch of God, early in this season of God, so that the correction is minor rather than having to be a major correction 10 years from now.